As one of the only St. Louis family-owned and operated restaurants in downtown, we want to thank all of you for the support over the last 40 years with food and drink specials all year long, like $7 lunch specials, $6 pitchers of Budweiser, and $4 Jamesons, as well as awesome giveaways each month. Follow us on social media, visit our website, MaggieO'Brien's.com, or stop in at one of our two locations, downtown and in Sunset Hills. Don't miss your chance for concert tickets, blues tickets, cards, home opener tickets, and many more awesome prizes. Thank you for the support, and cheers to 40 years. And remember, Maggie O'Brien's at Market and 20th Street. Union Station is next to us.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm afraid this rover.
No need for Bobby to get all bothered up learning about sex when he can't do a damn thing about it anyway at his age. And with his features.
Crossed over, if I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon on 590 The Fan. Made a decision driving in here today that I think from now on we open the Burke segment up to everybody but me. Because after you guys finish with whatever you have or don't have, I'd say we just turn it over to the audience. And they know what the Burke segment is. It's just anything that you want to kick around. So
I thought we always did that.
No, we never really had an actual invitation for other people.
That's true.
To call in. So since first hour, we never have any idea what we're supposed to be doing. Let them carry it. You know, let them carry as much of it as they can. My goal is to one day just do nothing except just sit here and go, thanks for calling. You know, that'd be my job. So
that's your goal? What's new?
Oh, wait a minute. We do that already. Okay, I'm sorry. You know what? It was my goal 20 years ago, and I reached it. I'm sorry. I forgot. So, welcome. We're glad to have you with us on this 4th of September. No, it's not the 4th. Is today the 4th?
Yeah.
Woo!
You don't know how I know that? Because yesterday was the 3rd.
Yeah.
It is the 4th of September.
No, I'm not doing that. It's the 4th of September, and you know what it is. You know what that means. It means it's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
And the Burke. Well, now.
All right, I got a question.
Well, okay. Okay.
Okay, so do we only sing over the month when it is actually the 3rd and we're on air?
I say that's a good idea.
Okay. Okay.
Let her sing it was the 3rd. And then we'll jump in August or whatever.
Because I was about to do it and I'm very glad I didn't because I would have sounded like an idiot.
You know, it would be great if we're on the air on the 3rd day of a month with one syllable. Because it's easy to cover up June with it was the 3rd of May. It's a lot easier than it was the 3rd of October.
Yeah.
So, it is the 4th of September, and that's not another sleepy. I remember from the song I just heard, it's the 3rd of June. So here's what we'll do. We'll throw a couple of things around, kick it around, and then anytime you want, you're always welcome to call here. Other stations don't welcome calls all the time because they have a fixed, it's called a radio clock. That's what they call it. I've seen them my whole life. Not in the studio when I'm working, but I've seen other radio people have to go by these clocks. It's actually a diagram. It's round like a clock, and then it's cut into pi. segments like a piece of pie. And it'll say, like, from top of the hour till six after, you play a song. From six to seven, you do a promo. And seriously, the whole hour is laid out like that. Here's our hour laid out. From now till four, do something.
We don't know.
That's it. That's the clock. And I have to talk about First Community Credit Union, which I will do eventually. So here are the numbers. If you have anything on your mind, if you have any questions, I do want to remind you that in the 4 o'clock hour, Dr. Doug Pernikoff will join us. He is the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. He's your pet's best friend. He's a tremendous vet. He is. And just a really nice guy who loves animals. So if you love animals and you have an animal, or you're thinking about getting one, be ready to call next hour. And the numbers I'm about to give you to participate in this hour are the same ones that you'll need then. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Does anybody have anything to say? Lyme, you seem like you might. You act like you do.
I do, but it's pretty embarrassing.
Well, then let's have it.
No, okay.
We insist.
Here's Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, everybody. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Somebody
I just want to let you know.
That's really embarrassing.
Oh, that would be.
So, no, this one's actually even more embarrassing than that. And just want you to let, because of our brotherly friendship here, know that you guys are going to support me.
Sure.
And help me.
Of course we will.
And obviously the listeners are as well. But
except with things like getting girls pregnant. We cannot help.
Out of wedlock.
With that. We can't help you there.
Too late.
Look at those phones. Everybody wants in. Go ahead.
This morning, one of my favorite things to do is to poop, right?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I cannot stand, and I wish humans didn't have to do it.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm surprised that by now, some scientist hasn't come up with something you take, a pill, liquid, that mm-hmm. just internally eats it up. Because I can't stand doing that. I'm sure. I don't like it.
You don't like being...
No.
No. I'd love to start my day that way.
Man,
you know, just kind of like,
I don't.
It's just great. You know, you just ease into the day. You know, it's great. But this morning, my morning constitutional was just fraught with pain.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like a hemorrhoidal thing?
No. Unfortunately, I have a pimple on my butt cheek, and it only hurts when I'm sitting on the hard toilet seat.
Ooh.
So, I mean, it's like my morning constitutional this morning was not fun. And obviously,
so
I'm going
off
through
to the side where the seat is.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm going through a kind of like a traumatic time right now.
Well, it's temporary. That's
you know,
a good
thing. Exactly. It's going to go away.
Like
but,
a
you know,
boil.
Yeah, kind of just like, you know, I'm guessing it's a zit. I haven't really checked back there yet, so that weird angle where I can't really see it.
And you don't want to ask somebody.
Exactly, and be like, hey, will you check out my cheek and see what's down
there?
It's
one of the downsides of living by yourself, by the way.
Yeah.
See, I got help with that stuff. I can tell my wife, check this out. What does this look like?
You ever look at your butt and say that? look at this thing.
Well, I've had my back. You can't see your own back.
No, it looks fine.
Even with
a
mirror.
Crack down the middle.
Even with a mirror, sometimes it's hard to do. So that's it. That's your Burke segment?
Yeah, that's my Burke segment. Yeah.
I got a better one.
Probably.
No. Well, any thing would be better. Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Welcome.
I saw something. I saw history made today. Stopped at the QT over at Big Bend in 44, as I usually
do. What does that stand for? Quick time?
Quick trip.
Quick trip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So I went in there, as I always do, on the way to the station, and there was a little two-year-old girl. Not that this matters, but just to be descriptive.
Breastfeeding?
No, she was a little two-year-old black girl that had the cutest little pigtails with all these different colors, and she had one of these huge Slim Jims that she picked off of the shelf. You know, I mean, this thing had to have been it's the biggest one they have. It was like a foot long.
Wow.
And her mother.
Let me give everybody an idea what you're talking about here. A foot long. That's the size
about
right
that
there.
Skinny
pretty
too.
Big.
Oh, that
about
Slim
that skinny
Jim.
Too, huh? And she's sitting there holding it, and her mother's over by the drinks, and the mother and the girl had a three-syllable name. I still don't know what it is. I'll say what I think it was. Quanisha.
Yeah.
Come over here. Yeah. Girl looks at her and she doesn't move. Quanisha, come over here. Girl doesn't move. Quanisha, get over here now. And this girl, after the third time, looks at her mother and she says, I
come over there when I'm good and ready.
Oh, bad parenting somewhere. Oh.
And another gal that was standing right next to this gal who was holding an even younger child starts busting out laughing. And I couldn't help but start busting out laughing as well. And I'm putting the lid on my drink, and she's putting the lid on her drinks as well. And I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, I said, I have to ask. It's how many times has she said that to you in her life? And she said, you just saw the first time. She just learned that phrase. That's the first time I've ever heard her say that. So I saw History Made Today.
Hmm. Wow.
And it was funny.
Now, I have a question, because this is me. I'm just weird this way. Mm-hmm. I've heard that my whole life. Why when I'm good and ready? What about mm-hmm. I'll do it when I'm ready? What's the good part? Well, what does that have to do with anything?
A two-year-old has to have heard it somewhere.
Oh, of course
to
she
repeat
did.
It. So I don't know if she heard it on TV or her parents say that phrase and then she repeated it then. But I always wonder how a kid learns something, how to say something for the first time. I guess there is only one way. They have to have heard it somewhere.
Sure. Oh, sure.
And so, secondly, yesterday I talked about...
That's called, when I was a kid, back talk.
Yeah.
Or sassing.
Yeah.
Don't you sass me.
My dad always called it last word-itis.
Never heard that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was his thing. You got a case of last word-itis.
Yeah. Must be a British thing.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Well,
have you?
Don't you sass me. Don't you back talk me. My dad, you say, I'll knock you in the middle of next week.
Oh, yeah. I'll knock the... There was a news story that said, I'll knock the blood out of you.
No, Dan. No, that's a story I told about my music teacher.
No, there was...
She said, I'll cut the blood out of you.
No, there was another... I know someone else that said, I'll knock the blood out of you.
No, that's real nice, too.
Yeah. My mom used to become infuriated at my smart mouth and back talk when I was a kid. And when she would send me to my room, she'd say, go in your room and don't say another word. And I look at her and I go...
Oh, yeah.
God. That's not saying a word.
I that was my point exactly.
That
would make her even madder.
Have your mom say, go pick up your room. And one time I said I would, but it's too heavy. That didn't go over well at all. No, that didn't work.
And secondly, you and I shared our worst neighbor ever stories yesterday during the first part of the Burke segment, and then you started taking calls, and I know Limey and Dan both had a bad neighbor story.
Neighbor from hell story?
A neighbor from hell story.
I shared a story of a neighbor who had Oreos in his briefcase.
Right.
It wasn't...
He was faking everybody out that he got a raise at work, and his briefcase kicked open. An odd neighbor story.
Right.
Mine sort of started bad and turned into funny because the guy told his kid to throw vegetables in my pool, and he threw them in my neighbor's pool instead, and then he threw them back.
So, Limey, what was your bad neighbor story?
I don't actually have a bad neighbor story.
Oh, you were nodding yesterday that you had one?
I was just nodding in agreement.
Oh.
Maybe he has Parkinson's. Oh. Maybe his head was just... Oh. Maybe that boil in his butt is a start of Parkinson's.
Great.
Well, now how do you feel? Does? Pretty bad? Dan, did you have a neighbor from hell story?
That guy's making me look bad.
Well, no, I did. There was one behind us. And this guy was one of those guys that would call the county on every single thing.
Yeah, there's usually that
guy. Yeah, there's a that guy. So, and we knew it was him. We called him Fat Tony. But he was, and he came up through the woods and everything one time, and he's like, oh, hi, my name's Tony, nice to meet you. And then we found out it was him that was calling. He called on our neighbors next to us.
Well, what's the story?
The story was that I had a deck built, and it was actually replaced. So it was the same type of deck, but it was just completely replaced.
Do you have a permit?
No, I didn't get a permit. We're supposed to get a permit.
Yeah, you have a permit for everything.
But I know, even when you just replace what was there.
Right.
So the guy from the county came out and he was talking to me, and I said, well, are you going to make me tear this down? And he said, well, actually, they can make you tear it down and rebuild it. And he was looking at it and he said, it's built very well. And I said, who called on us? And he said, I can't tell you that. And I said, does he live in that direction? And I pointed to that Fat Tony's house. And he said, I think he does live in that direction. But the guy turned out to be AM and the PM.
Well, this is not a neighbor from hell story.
No. Well, the guy, he called all the time, though. He would call the county if he heard something hammering.
But we're looking for, you know, like one specific really horrible, like the kind of thing where you like to put a contract out on the neighbor.
I have one of those that I witnessed in which My father, when I was a teenager, lived out in St. Charles County, and he had 3 acres of property, and it was unfenced. And so he started digging some fence post holes because he had dogs, and he just wanted to have a fence on the property. And the neighbor came out after my dad already started digging the line of holes with a, with one of those, you know, power fence
post hole diggers.
They got like a power auger. motorized one. The guy came out and he said, I don't think that's the property line. And he made my dad stop and go get a survey. Yeah. So my dad went and got a survey, and it turns out that the property line was even further on this guy's side of the yard than my dad was going to put the fence line up. So my dad redug the fence line, and it went right through this guy's garden that he had at the end of his backyard.
That's what he gets.
I mean, he went right through it. And then for about the next year, my dad refused to cut the grass within like 6 feet of the fence line so that it would get weedy and it would spread, you know, and it spread into this guy. And this guy, his name was, for some reason, I don't know why I remember this, his name was Lester Lubkin, I believe it was. Lester Lubkin or Lester Lubkin. And Lester was a small guy, and he looked at my dad, and they were barking each other back and forth, and my dad looked at me and said, Lester, he goes, I have a question. This is after the fence was up. He goes, I got a question to ask you. Do you think you can make it from where you're standing to inside the house before I hop over this fence and whoop your ass? You know, are you threatening me? And this guy ended up putting poison in pork chops and killed my dad's dog.
Whoa!
Wow.
My dad, at least my dad, my dad accused him of that. I guess I should, as a disclaimer, accused him of that. That's somebody.
Wow.
You want to put a contract out on. That's somebody that.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a. Let me talk to Steve. Steve's been holding too long. Let's just get him taken care of. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you. What do you got?
And I was just listening. I'm enjoying it like I would just over the radio, except it's coming over the phone line. I was just going to ask you, since it's a Burke question, or Burke segment, you can ask anything. Did you guys leave Vagina at the other station?
No, Vagina is with us. We haven't brought our pets out recently. For those who don't know, the show has pets. We're pet owners. We have a cat, a female
cat. We're pet lovers.
Named Vagina. We have a tomcat named Penis, P-E-N-I-S.
Yeah.
We have Max and Goldie. Those are two dogs. Max is a mean dog. And Goldie's a real nice.
Penis is usually always spitting mad.
Penis is always chasing a Vagina around. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. They are old. They're getting old, but they're here. And we'll have to bring them out here and let them, you know, bark and meow at people here soon. But thank you for asking about them.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
No, they're fine. Thank you.
Okay. Right. See you, bye.
Bye-bye. Now, part of the problem is, I don't know if you know how to turn their little microphones on in their little cat house and dog houses. When you learn how to do that, little cat house, and one for Penis. And when you find those, we'll let the audience hear from them.
Penis is always kind of angry.
Okay,
He is. Yeah, and he stands up a lot.
A dog.
Penis is a male cat.
Have you shared with the listeners your Facebook posting or the existence of your Facebook posting of all the dogs that have existed in your household?
Oh, sorry.
Penis.
When I put it up.
How long ago was that?
Was that Penis?
2 years.
Yeah, that was Penis.
A couple of years ago.
Gotcha.
That was Penis. That's right. That's his microphone.
Wow.
So here's a great neighbor story. It's a true story. My wife and I used to live in North County in an apartment complex called Raintree Apartments off of Lilac up near Riverview. And up above us was a black prostitute. I remember her name, but I won't share it with you because, I don't know, she may still be around, but it was known in the apartment complex she was a prostitute. And we would hear above us springs, bed, headboards knocking, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, noises, moaning, and then, you know, we'd see guys leave and guys come and go. And then, you know how in an apartment, when you walk out of your apartment, a lot of times there's another apartment door right down the little corridor from you. Mm-hmm. I walk out one day and I hear someone, let's just say her name was Andrea, the prostitute. I hear it was a Saturday morning. He's telling her goodbye and the voice sounded familiar to me. Mm-hmm. So I stood there and waited until he was ready to come down the little outside stairs.
Yeah.
And I went, Hey, Jim, it was a guy in radio who, and the look on his face. I said, hey, man, so you know my, you know, how do you know my neighbor upstairs? Well, there's only one way. You know. And he was so embarrassed. I mean, he was so embarrassed. I guess he was afraid. He actually worked in the building with me, right, same station. He was afraid that I'd go back, but I didn't, and tell everybody. But, man, I'll never forget. I probably shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have let him know that. I couldn't help it. It was too easy.
You guys ever talk about it after that?
No. Oh, no, never.
Did he work with you at the station you worked at? Or no. Just was in the
no,
business?
No, no. And at this, at the station, he is still in this business today.
Oh,
at another station. Never mentioned it. Never said another word. He just knew. He always knew that I knew. And he wasn't married, so it's not like he was married and going upstairs to the prostitute above us. The anything Burke segment? Anybody else Burke segment?
Oh, no? But that was a fabulous ending to the Burke segment.
What's your wife? Thank you.
That's a bravo.
Anybody else?
Clap.
No, I don't know.
No, let's close it. Burke segment.
You sent me that thing on email?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I sent it to you. Yeah. The we have to put it on our Facebook page. Tim Woodburn sent me a video yesterday. It's one of the most incredible things I have. In fact, anybody could look it up. Just go to YouTube and type in, what's her name?
Red Panda.
Yeah, Red Panda.
Oh, I'll do that.
It's an Asian woman, and she performs at halftime, I guess usually basketball games.
Correct. And apparently she's performed at Billikens games because Bob Ramsey was talking about her.
He has seen her in person.
Yeah.
It's the most, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I'll just tell you, she's on a unicycle, okay?
A tall one.
A really tall unit, like a three-story tall unicycle. And the wheel is not oversized. It's a regular bicycle-sized wheel, a unicycle wheel. But what she's able to do is actually beyond belief, superhuman. So, what is it?
Red Panda.
Red Panda. YouTube it and look her up. Now, the ATM machine just turned 50 years old.
Happy birthday.
And I guess that doesn't surprise me. Well, it seems like it hasn't been around that long, or it's been around long. It seems about right to me. But here's the interesting thing about the ATM. I never use an ATM machine. I don't think my wife has ever used an ATM machine. And the only times I've made an exception is a few times in a casino, when even though I have set my limit and I've said, that's it, I'm going home, the pull of the casino would not loosen its
one
grip.
Last hurrah.
And so I would go to the ATM machine and get some money. But I've never used an ATM machine out in public, like to grab. I just haven't. I usually have cash. I'm guessing that's not most people. I think most people.
Yeah, I use an ATM frequently.
Use it a lot. Mm. And I just, for whatever reason, so happy birthday, happy 50th birthday to the ATM machine.
It's putting people out of work because where I bank, they don't offer teller service anymore.
Wow.
The drive-through tellers, they don't offer that service anymore. I'll tell you, it's Bank of America.
Yeah.
And you have to use the double ATM outside, or there's one against the wall, or you have to physically get out of your car and walk into the bank if you want money.
But that's not all Bank of America. That's one location.
Well, I think the one I'm talking about is the one on Watson Road. Near Watson and Lindbergh. It's the one I go to the most. But I believe the one on Manchester that's west of 141 also has that policy, because the people that come into work, they come into work and they park their car facing the wrong way in those aisles so the people won't drive through thinking that there's service there. They actually have their employees park their cars there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed, man. go ahead and do it. I cleared my throat. You know, some movie theaters, they've practically done away with the concession people. It's those drink machines where you pick Coke,
oh,
Pepsi.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? It's a touch screen, and then that thing comes out of into a cup, and there's nobody.
Which I don't like.
You
those
swipe
machines,
a card.
Tell
no,
you the
I
truth.
Don't either.
They never have ice. At least the one in Ronnie's, it's never got ice. Every single time I go there,
I like that kid behind the counter with zits who's got a part-time job scooping popcorn and
right.
Everything. I don't like all that automated stuff. Now, the other thing we have to talk about, and Tim told me this yesterday, and I'm not doubting that it's true. It's just hard for me to believe. Steve Carlton, famous baseball player, go ahead, has never. How long has he been married? 40 years or something?
Yeah.
And he and his wife have never had a television
in their house.
What?
In their house.
Yeah.
How in the world can that be?
And the Unabomber also didn't have one.
Two different kinds of people. Steve Carlton has never even watched a baseball game at home. He'd have to go to a sports bar or somebody else's house.
And when they had the reunion of, I believe, the 67 Cardinals a couple of years ago, Dan McLaughlin had Steve Carlton in the studio and did like an in-game, they stick around for like a half inning and just kind of talk about what's going on the whole bit. And they brought that up.
Do you think he's messing with people?
No, because just Tuesday, just on Monday's day game broadcast, Tim McCarver was talking about it again, about how when he went and visited Steve Carlton, that, he went out there and him and his wife went out there to visit him in his house, which is somewhere out west in the middle of
nowhere,
absolute nowhere. And apparently he's got many acres of property and land and there's wild animals roaming around and stuff like that, horses and cattle and whatever. And mentioned again on the air Monday that he did not have a TV when he went to go visit him.
Let's just think about this for a minute. 40 years. You're married. Does he have kids, Carlton?
I don't know.
Well, if you have kids, that would be even tougher to do. But let's just say.
He's 74 years old.
All right, let's just say you don't. It's just you and your wife. How can you. Look, I realize there's a lot of bad TV, and I realize that a lot of people watch too much television. But to not have a TV in your house, how can you go out and engage in conversation with people? Because inevitably, something's going to come up about something everybody saw on television. Hey, did you see that the Challenger blow up on TV? No, we don't have a TV.
I want to correct myself. He's not married.
Okay.
He was married and she
left because he didn't have a television?
I don't know if she's deceased or if they got divorced, but he hasn't been married since 98, and I know that this visit by McCarver took place after that because he said it was just a few years ago. But he said Steve Carlton, if I heard him right, he said Steve Carlton has never owned a TV.
How can that be? How can you live without a television? I know that sounds horrible. How can you live without a television? But I'm serious. It's like, our microwave went out once. I thought we were going to lose our minds. What? 20 minutes to heat something up? Are you kidding me? No, it was insane. I mean, we couldn't wait to get it fixed or get another microwave or whatever. But TV, you can't go, you can't be around anybody for any length of time without something coming up in the conversation that somebody saw on television. Forget did you watch this series or that, or Friends or Cheers, or forget all that. Just news, just information. The world was glued to televisions on 9/11. That morning of 9/11, the whole world, everybody with a... Now, if you didn't have a TV, I guess you try to visualize what's going on the radio, but no description could do what watching those planes did going into those buildings.
And the thing is, he played baseball for quite a long time. I'm on his Wikipedia page now. He divorced his wife in 98. They do have two sons. Even his Wikipedia page mentions the fact that he doesn't own a television.
Wow.
He lives in Colorado, and he has an orchard with 150 fruit trees. And he talks about, his healthy partnership with food and with life and with, he's all about the aura and the zen. And he's one of those.
Oh, hippie. Oh, okay.
A bit of
that makes sense then. Hippies aren't big fans of TVs. Like, I had this aunt who lived
at... not a hippie. He was a professional baseball player.
You can still be a hippie.
How can you not want to watch the World Series? You were a baseball player.
Well, maybe he was in one, so.
All the more reason to want to watch.
Several.
But no, I had an aunt, she's not really an aunt. She's one of those, family friends that just gets called on. She lived up in Chicago. She had a TV and she hated it. She bought it for her son and her husband, and then when they moved out, she just put this blanket over it. And I remember her telling me, because I was like, "Can I watch TV?" And she said no, because she thinks that it's like an evil eye. It's like looking into her house.
No, so I've heard of old people that think that the people on TV can see you.
Right.
But this gets weirder, if I may. He never spoke with the media during his playing career. Very rarely would he speak with the media. So he lives in Colorado, and he agreed to an interview with a New York Times, with a writer from Philadelphia, and then the New York Times also picked up on it. And they asked Steve Carlton about his life and what he does, and how he exists and what he believes in and what he doesn't. And he said, Carlton told this reporter that the world is ruled or controlled by the Russian and United States governments, which fill the air with low-frequency sound waves, the elders of Zion, British intelligence agencies, and 12 Jewish bankers.
He's nuts.
This now makes perfect sense.
He also says that he also accused President Clinton of having a black son that he won't acknowledge, the AIDS virus was created at a secret Maryland biological warfare laboratory to get rid of gays and blacks.
Okay, he's crazy. Yeah. Steve Carlson.
Oh, no, that could be true about Clinton.
The Clinton thing could be true.
Yeah, it could be.
But the rest of it is just nonsense.
He's nuts.
Yeah, he's nuts.
My dad's got a friend that she always posts stuff on Facebook, and it's about how 5G is going to pollute our brainwaves or something.
What's
like
wrong
that?
With these people?
She's a lovely woman, but she's out there with Carlton, like very, very vegan and hippie and chi and feel like being one with the universe and all that.
I told you this before. We have a friend. My wife, it's mainly her friend, but I've met her. And she's a nice and an attractive woman. She's like 50. And when she says the things I'm about to tell you that she says, she's not joking. And if you try to talk sense to her, she gets mad. And it's sort of like discussing politics or religion, but you just don't do it. But we've been outside with her, and she'll look up, and if there's a jet in the contrails, she'll say something like, "There they go again." She seriously believes that they're, and have for decades, been spraying mind-altering chemicals in the sky.
Oh,
and it's over time affecting us. Now, if you say to her, "That is the stupidest thing that I've ever heard," you know what she'll say back to you?
What?
"Well, it's on the internet." No. And I said to her one time, I said, "Everything is on the internet. Think of anything, bizarre, real, fake. It's all there." She just chooses to go to sites and believe that our minds are being controlled by contrails coming out of jet planes.
This is another video that was going viral on Facebook. Well, not really viral. It was getting shared by quite a few, let's just say, ignorant people. You know, they weren't not very intelligent. And it was that the government created this chemical that specifically turns black men gay. And this guy can prove it because he found the chemical in the water source and tested it on frogs.
Mm.
And it turned the frogs gay.
Well, there you go.
And this thing spread like wildfire.
That settles
it. It was nuts. I mean, like, oh, well, gay frogs, that, you know, government made them.
We talked about on this show whether or not animals are gay, and I never really got to get into it. It was kind of at the end of the hour, and I started digging into it, and the most common animal...
Rid-up.
What did you say?
Rid-up.
was
dog?
No, penguins.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
And to the point where, like, you know, penguins, like, especially... I don't want to call them incarcerated. Penguins that are in zoos. Yeah. What do you call animals that are in zoos?
Domesticated, I don't know.
Incarcerated.
Yeah, incarcerated.
Whatever.
Caged.
They're certainly not free. And that there are numerous documented episodes by zookeepers around the United States of penguins that will, they walk in pairs. It's either a boy and a girl, or it's a boy and a boy, or it's a girl and a girl.
Really?
And all three. And that they try and perform sexual acts on each other.
Well, maybe they can't tell because they all wear that same tuxedo. You don't know who's the guy and who's the girl because they're all wearing a tux.
I would think an animal would have a, you know, an animal in heat. So somehow they have to know that, you know, they're ready to go. But I assume that that's the case. But I don't know what penguins' mating habits are. But there's, and they were showing pictures of them online. Penguins.
Doing it.
Well, you know,
we don't get to see it because we don't see penguins. We have to go to the zoo. We're not around them.
You know, I have two dogs, and I have a friend who sometimes will bring a dog over to my house, and that dog, and they're all male, and that dog likes to lick where he shouldn't be licking on my two dogs.
Mm.
And he's gay. And he's tried to hump them a couple times. Okay.
He's a gay dog.
Well.
Why not? Why wouldn't
I don't know, but they're all fixed, though, so I don't understand. We have to stop and dug that.
We have a...
How do you like your sex? Rough.
We've got some help from a listener. When they're in zoos, it's in the term we're looking for is captivity.
Well, it's like prison. Okay, captivity. A lot of guys, they're not really gay, but in prison, they don't have a choice. Maybe that's the way, because the penguins are incarcerated. They are. I mean, look at that.
Prison penguin.
They do. Like, they do. Are a couple. They're a couple, and they're a couple for life, aren't they? Penguins are?
I think you're right. I think they are. I think you're right. Unless one dies, then, they mate for life.
I don't know the answer to any of that.
And the women go out to find food.
Here's what I do need help with. And we did. I don't think we discussed this on the air, but this came up over the weekend with somebody, and I've had the answer told to me numerous times, and I can never get it straight. Now, I don't want anybody looking this up. I want to see if we can figure it out, or if a listener can call. But know what you're talking about if you call us. You need to be a farmer, or you need to have some experience before you call. Here are the numbers, and I'll give you the question. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. I know what a horse is, and I know what a mare is. A mare is a female horse. There are multiple names for male horses. Stallion, steed, stud, whatever.
Right.
A Mustang, we learned, is any wild horse. Is a Mustang, male or female. The donkey, mule, jackass thing. I've been told over and over with the deal, one of them has no sex. I think it's a donkey. A donkey is neither male nor female. They cannot reproduce. Donkeys cannot do it with each other. No, yes, it can be. And then what is a mule? I think a mule is when a donkey and a horse do it. But then if a donkey, I thought that was an ass. Well, a donkey and a horse. Jackass are the same thing. A mule is bigger than a donkey. I've never been able to get this straight.
Maybe
it's a mule that doesn't have a sex.
They may not be able to reproduce, but every single animal like has a gender or like a way to.
It's either one of them has no reproductive or they're all male. It's something like that.
Really?
Yeah. Are phones even working? They can't be.
Yeah.
They are? You sure they are?
Well, yeah, we just had Steve on.
That was the last one that got through. So here's my question. How do you create a donkey? Is it a horse and a mule?
I thought donkeys were their own species.
See, I don't know.
Like, I thought, like, a jackass is... an ass, sorry.
We're going to have to turn to Tim and look at that.
Okay.
Nobody out there sees
this.
Well,
this is frying my brain trying to research
this. Oh, hang on a second. Somebody's calling in now. And see, there you go.
Well, now lots of somebody's. That's why I'm telling you, our phone's crapped out again because now they're all lit up. All of them are lit up. Look at that.
All right, so
they died.
Hold up on the answer.
Don't tell us anything. I want to see what the listeners say.
All right.
Again, what we're trying to find out is exactly what is a donkey, exactly what is a mule, and is a jackass any different? And then there's a burro.
Okay, that's just a Mexican donkey, right?
I think
burro is just their word for donkey.
I think you're right.
I don't know.
But let's find out. Let's talk. Who's first here? Mike. Mike, welcome to 590th Fan. Help us out. What do you got?
I know nothing about donkeys.
Well, okay, we can call for any other reason. Sorry. That's all right.
Okay. I don't know if you guys mentioned this or need this. I was listening. You was talking about Steve Carlton in Colorado.
Right.
I have a friend that lives in Durango, and said that if I guess he still lives there unless he moved, but said he used to come into the store that he worked at, into the liquor store there, and it was I don't know if you'd say odd, but he was pretty much himself, and he recognized him because he's and my friend's originally here from St. Louis, and he. Looks at him and says, "Hey, you know what? You and I used to work at the same place." He says, "Really? Like where?" And he says, "I used to work in the parking garage at Busch Stadium."
Oh.
he thought it was funny, but
Steve didn't
laugh so much. He said,
"No." It sounds like Steve Carlton went off the rails a long time ago.
Yeah, he
just went kind of nuts.
Right.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, the first time I ever seen him was in back of old Busch Stadium, which is showing my age, on Spring Avenue. Him and Mike Shannon coming out with the old blue solo cups with Busch beer in it, I'm sure.
Let me see if Mike remembers that, because we have Mike Shannon on by satellite. Mike, you remember when Mike here says he saw you with Steve Carlton holding a couple of solo cups with a beer in them. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that at all. I must have been trashed. I probably had a handy 48 pack. And...
Mike, I'm sorry he doesn't remember you. No surprise.
This is the radio. This is the radio that I live for. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you, Mike. And don't we all? All right, who's next here? Brian? Yeah.
Yep.
Now, is this Brian a regular guest? Brian?
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Okay, so a mule is from crossbreeding a horse and a donkey.
Okay.
Mules have gender. They're just sterile. They can't reproduce.
Ah, really? See, I knew it was something like this. Two mules cannot make another mule. The only mules come from horses doing it with donkeys.
Now, does it have to be a specific, right. Like... The horse has to be male or female, or the donkey has to, like...
That's a good question. Can the horse be a mare and the donkey be male? Or is the donkey
that,
always...
That I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think it matters. But okay. I do know that the mules are sterile.
Mules are sterile, but are they male or female and sterile?
Yes. Yeah, they have gender.
So there are male and female, but it doesn't matter which. They can't reproduce, right?
That's right.
This is a weird deal.
I wonder why.
Then the jackass has two meanings. It's either it can be another slang term for a donkey or my ex-wife.
That's a good one.
Hello, everybody.
That's a good one.
I like that.
All right, thank you, Brian. Now let's review.
And to follow that up, mules have an extra chromosome, which is why they can't reproduce. There have been rare cases where female mules have been able to reproduce, but it's very rare. But male mules cannot because of the number of chromosomes.
But it's so rare, it's like a freak thing. For the most part, mules cannot make other mules. Only a donkey and a horse can make a mule.
Okay. You ever seen the cross between a donkey and a zebra? They look kind of cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I'm not joking.
No, of course I've never seen that.
Dan was kind of running through really everything cool. on the phone with me, and I told him to hold on. To pass this along.
Well, that's rare
everyone.
For you because usually you just keep talking to him.
Yeah, I know.
Put Dan on here. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Help us out with this. Is that correct that mules cannot reproduce with each other?
That's correct. And okay. By the way, howdy, Frank. How's the gang doing? I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, Dan. So let's start there. If you see a mule, it is the result of a horse doing it with a donkey, not two mules doing it. Now, what's the story with donkeys? They can be male or female?
Correct. There's a male and a female donkey. I believe they come from like the horse family, but the male donkey obviously is an ass or a jack.
Right.
A female donkey is also known as a jenny.
That's right. Jenny. He's right. Jenny.
Correct.
Jenny is a female donkey.
Female.
Jack
Correct.
And Jenny.
Correct. And then the offspring of a male donkey and a female or a mare, you know, a female horse is where you get your mule from. And mules are mainly bred to do work around farms and things like that.
Okay, now hang on. You just said that it's a male donkey and a female horse makes a mule. It cannot be a male horse and a female donkey?
And this is a serious question?
No.
To my knowledge, it is just a male donkey and a female horse creates the mule.
Mm-hmm. See, it gets weirder.
Now, well, I want to know is because if that's the case, is it because a female donkey possibly could not take the weight of a male horse? Because donkeys are smaller, and a male horse is
your mules are much larger animals than a donkey, and that comes from the horse side of it. So if you're looking at a jenny or a smaller species than the donkey, it probably would not be able to carry that or would not be able to produce as large of an animal as the mule is.
So male donkey and female horse make a mule.
To my knowledge, that is what creates a mule.
Mm, that's a weird bunch of animals, isn't it? I mean, they're all messed up.
They're pretty amazing animals, though. So all right.
How do you know all this? Do you have donkeys?
We've had mules and horses and whatnot at the farm, and from the little town in southern Missouri, southeast Missouri, We actually had what they call mule jumping contest at our county fair. So
mule
jumping contest is pretty exciting.
It sounds exciting.
It does.
Well, thank you, Dan.
You guys have a great
day. Now, here's the deal. We have the ability to make mules extinct. Think about it. If you never let a donkey and a horse get together, it's the end of all. It's the end of all mules.
Yeah, you're right.
Mules done. Gone.
Didn't you tell a Playhouse joke one time about a guy who kept going up the mountain with his mule and coming down with? He took a butterfly up there and he came down with casks of butter, and he took a he took a horsefly up there and he came down with some horses, but he rode his mule.
No, this is a Pussy Willow joke.
Yeah,
no, that's
yeah.
a farmer joke, and a city guy goes out to the farm. Same joke.
I didn't tell him. I thought he had a mule that he was that he was walking around with.
I know the joke, but I didn't have a mule. I didn't have a mule.
Okay.
So this is interesting. Now we know. If somebody, I don't know why they would, but let's just say the President of the United States, whoever it would be, said, mules are carrying a disease, we need to end mules, no more mules, it would be as easy as keep your horses away from the donkeys. No more mules, ever.
Anyway.
And why are there mules? That's another question. Because they're stronger? Aren't horses strong? Is a mule stronger than a horse?
Maybe because they're durable and you don't have to worry about them going into heat or stuff like that. If they're sterile, maybe they don't do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they always just kind of...
They're
stocky and short, and you know they used to drag tills behind them before we had tractors. I mean, they were useful farm animals.
Right, pull a plow.
Right.
It was a mule, not a horse and a plow.
Right.
See, how much we're learning here?
I'm learning a lot.
Let's put, me too, let's put Larry on here. Larry, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon, Larry. How can you help us here?
One gentleman called before. He pretty much hit it on the head with the mule and donkey. A lot of them, some of the female aren't, can't reproduce when they're a mule, female mule, because they can't produce the eggs. And the male can't produce the semen.
Yeah,
so they'll have to. They'll
tough
have to
dilemma,
yeah. Yeah, that's a kind of a dead end.
That's got to be frustrating, I guess, if you're a mule, and you're a male mule, and you're never going to get to do it. Maybe they don't want to do it. Maybe they don't have the urge.
Maybe they
don't
can. They might be asexual.
Well, Limey had a good idea. One of the great reasons to have mules is you don't ever have to worry about them messing around when they're supposed to be working. You know, hey, get back to work. No, that's all they do.
That's true.
Is work.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the mule can take the train, but he just can't punch the ticket, so to speak. You know?
I got you.
Yeah. Now, here's a little fact.
Can I tell you that I'm already lost and have forgotten everything we just learned? I'm not serious.
Come on. No,
here's what I remember. Mules can't do it because they're sterile.
Yep.
A donkey is the result of a mule.
Yeah, we have discussed donkeys.
A horse and a donkey makes a mule, Frank.
Right, but it has to be a male donkey and a female horse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, I got it. What else do we need to know, Larry?
Because the donkeys are more sure-footed. One thing with the guys around here, that are cattle farmers, we've got coyotes out the wazoo around here. I mean, you can hear them screaming in the early.
I hear them behind my house.
Yeah, well, what the ranchers do around here is they'll have four or five donkeys in their pastures, and a donkey is a natural-born enemy of a coyote.
I didn't know that.
Really?
There'll be four or five coyotes come in a pasture after something, and if there's a donkey in there, they'll turn tail and run. Because if that donkey get hold of them by the back of the neck, he'll throw them 20, 30 feet.
No kidding.
Wow. I thought you were going to say they kick them to death.
I do remember a story where...
They'll stomp them to death once they throw them, and they get knocked down and kind of get stunned. They'll run over and they'll stomp them to death, you know.
Man, I did not know that.
There is a story of that where, and it was out in California, a guy with a donkey was saved from a mountain lion by the donkey. And this mountain lion just bit it on the neck, swung it around, stomped on it. I mean, it destroyed the mountain lion. The donkey.
The donkey bit the holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Larry.
Oh, yeah.
That's good information.
You're welcome. You guys have a wonderful day, and I'm AM and the PM.
Oh, thank you.
It's
hard not to have a wonderful day. Just go outside. I'm not kidding. Walk outside for 5 minutes. You'll feel better. Woo! I've learned so much, my brain hurts. This is very, and a year from now, I won't remember. Oh, how about a week from now? I won't even remember this. I think I'll always remember that mules can't do it. No, I'll remember that mules can't do it. That's what I'll remember. And that if we want to keep mules going, we got to keep putting, male donkeys with female horses. And that's how you get mules. All right, kids, you go to school now and you'll impress your teacher by knowing all that. Speaking of animals, Dr. Doug Pernikoff will be with us right after we check in with John Londoff. So get ready with your pet questions, whether it's about one you own or one you're thinking about buying. It is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Slow-moving Hurricane Dorian is finally about to clear the Florida coast and will now pose a greater danger to Georgia. Dorian is a Category 2 storm with top sustained winds of 105 miles per hour. It's moving north-northwest at 9 miles per hour. It's about 180 miles south of Charleston, South Carolina. The National Hurricane Center's Ken Graham says...